of Wildian Tausch begins now, and it begins the way we ended the 9 o'clock hour with your calls. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. That is the Carbless Talkin' text line. List is more. Let's go to St. Paul, Minnesota, and talk to Brian to begin the 10 o'clock hour. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Great, fellas. Can I ask you two quick questions before I get to my emotions after the game?
Of course.
Tausch.
You may.
Tausch, when they bungled the onside kick, you said that LaFleur, I noticed what you did, that he was yelling at the team to, like, okay, rise up and let's go. Would there have been any merit there to taking a timeout and just getting the group together and saying, listen, it's still here for us. It's, you know, just regrouping for a minute. They had three timeouts left. You got to figure you're either going to win the game with a stop, or I thought they were going to go. I was shocked the Bears didn't go for two to win the game right there. But you got to figure the timeouts aren't going to matter. Would there have been any, would that have helped in any way, do you think?
So I think you can always, like, if you regroup, but even with all of that, I think part of the reason that Ben Johnson didn't go for two was, A, backup quarterback, momentum was with him, but B, I don't think he wanted to give that desperation to the Packers to go down and get a field goal, and then they have three timeouts, because there's still 25 mm-hmm. seconds left, which sounds like they're not going to be able to do it, but you kick it out of the end zone, you're at the 35, and then you have, I want to have those three timeouts, because then you can work the middle of the field. Now, how it would have played out, I don't know, but I think that's part of the reason, and yeah, you could give that timeout because they just obviously had given up some yards and were on the field. But, no, I want to have those timeouts just in case you get in that position where you're down one and you have 25 seconds left to go down and try to move the football.
Okay, I just was curious from a player's perspective if that would have meant anything.
For sure.
Number two would be, has anybody asked the powers that be if Keyshawn Nixon just made the decision that he was now our starting cornerback when he proclaimed in his interview at the end of last year, like, I'm not returning kicks anymore? Or did they decide that? Because I got to admit, I thought at least some point this year, maybe when they needed a big kick return, like the kick after the touchdown the other night, that maybe he'd go back there and, you know, he's the best returner on the team. And I thought maybe they would just, I at least thought they'd sparingly use him in spots where they thought they needed a big kick return to do it. And obviously I was wrong because they've never used him once. And I got me thinking, like, geez, did he just tell them, like, hey, that's what I'm doing, guys. I'm the starting corner now. And they just said, okay, I guess if that's what you're telling us you're doing. Because seems to me like your best kick returner hasn't returned a kick all year. And I just don't know who made that decision.
I don't think he made that. Like, he could say that all he wants, but if the coaches tell him, hey, we need you to return this kick, he's returning the kick. Now, I would argue that if we're going to say the kind of stuff that we have said about other players previously, about them being too valuable to use on special teams, then your number one corner is in that category. So, and frankly, I don't think their kick returns are the problem. They're like in the middle of the road there. So whether it's Savion Williams or it's Bo Melton or it's Emmanuel Wilson, yeah, have they had a big one? No, they haven't had. They've had a couple that were like 40 yards, I think. But the problem,
Jason,
is their punt return
to the point. No doubt. But I'm going to say this, and I totally agree. If you're going to, that's the time to put him out.
I agree. I agree. Put him in there.
Spare me this whole he's too valuable as a DB one. Like, no. He made his way in this league as a kick return guy. And that's how he got his spot with the G&G.
Under the old rules.
Fine. But if Deion Blank and Sanders could go back occasionally and return punts and kicks, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Keyshawn Nixon can too. Okay. Yeah. So let's slow our roll with this. Oh, we gotta protect. Da, da, da. Yeah, okay, yes. If you don't want to do it on an every down basis, I get it. But you're tied to win a division game. You got 30 seconds left. Let's see what he's got if he's the best kick returner we have. And maybe he's not. And maybe it is Savion. I don't know, but it doesn't. If we're gonna, I want our caller to be able to finish his point. Yeah, that's the time to do it.
Yeah, I'm just telling you that he returned some punts this year. So it's not like it's not him telling them I'm not doing it. I don't believe they feel like they need to use him on kickoff.
He said it last year.
He did.
He did say it.
And then he came back and said he was wrong to have said that.
Because he was scolded. Again, yeah, he was scolded.
Right, and rightfully so he was scolded.
Yeah, and I wasn't even upset that he didn't return the kick on Saturday night. It just brought, for some reason, that jarred my memory that I would have thought this year, like I would not have wanted him out there if he hasn't returned a kick all year, but I would have thought I'd have to go back and look at the games, but six to eight returns when they really needed one throughout the year and said, hey, go back there. You're our best kick returner. You know, we're not asking you to do it every time. Anyway,
let's be honest, though, before we move forward. Their punt return situation is a complete and utter debacle.
No, it stinks.
They had a guy.
It's a disaster waiting to happen.
And they had Matthew Golden doing it for a while, who had never done it in his life, not at any level of football. Now, I'm not saying you can't learn how to do it on the job, but if that's one of your alternatives, you have not done a good enough job. And now that you've got Romeo Doubs.
This isn't JV football. This is high stakes.
Yes.
I'm not interested in an intern. So say what you want about it. That is the punt return. It's been it's actually not been as disastrous as I thought it would be the way we've handled it.
Surprised it hasn't cost them
but
worse.
But it can be, and well, part of it is nobody punts anymore.
certainly the Packers don't.
If you're not fourth and eight, you're not punt. All right, let's let him finish up. Okay, what was your emotions on after Saturday?
Well, I actually just laughed after the game because I'm like, of course this is, of course, why not? But then I wasn't really mad until the Lions lost because I just don't want to watch them play anymore. I can't go through the game. For 58 minutes, I'm sitting with my wife, and I cannot believe how good a game Halfley's called and LaFleur is called. And then the phrase I used, Jason, was they're Hans Christian and Anderson. They're just waiting to plug the next hole. So the defense is great, and then the special teams I thought was awesome. Didn't miss a kick in the wind. Good return game. I don't remember any penalties. And then, of course, they muffed the punt or the drop the onside kick.
Yep.
And I can't put my finger on, like the previous caller said, Goody. I don't like Goody. I think he's the problem. I think Matt LaFleur is a great head coach. But I just have a feeling of resignation that it doesn't matter. Like, they could make the seven seed, and even if they play great and beat the Bears, and then they're going to go play the Eagles, and they probably won't be able to stop the run, and they'll give up 240 yards rushing. Or it'll just be the next thing. And so at the end of the year when – whatever, I just have a total feeling. I just don't want to watch them even lose a playoff game.
You're closing your heart.
To win a playoff game.
You're closing your heart to a championship.
And I'm just totally resigned to the fact that, and there's just something missing with the football organization. And so at the end of the year, if you tell me Goody's fired and LaFleur stays, I'll be like, nah. And if they tell me Goody's staying and LaFleur and staff are cleaned out, I'll say, nah. But I just am totally resigned to the fact that whatever it is, and I don't know what it is, and that's why I listen to you guys, because I keep hoping someone's going to enlighten me. But no matter what it is, it's just never good enough. And if it's, you know, I thought the defense was legit, and then they give up 40 to the Cowboys, and then they start playing better, and then they get gouged by Bo Nix last week, and the offense looks terrible, and then all of a sudden they look great until, like you said, Jason, until they're not. And it's just like, I feel like Matt LaFleur is just sitting at, you know, Hans Christian Andersen just waiting to plug. He plugs one hole and another one springs. And I'm just totally resigned and defeated. And I was like, sweet. I don't have to watch him play anymore after they lost to the Bears. I'm like, I'm done. And then, of course, the Lions lose. And it's like, great. Now they're going to make the playoffs. And now I got to watch him play three more times. Like, wonderful.
Wow. I'm a little worried about Brian. I'm not going to lie.
That is depressing. Jason, explain this Hans Christian Andersen to me. What does that mean?
Yeah, I
see the guy that stuck the finger in the dam.
He's the author of the thing with the boy with the dam. Yeah,
sticks the finger in the dam.
Yeah, right. It's called the dike. That's he's plugging the holes. Yes.
Then another one comes up and he's like constantly like putting his toes in his hands and his nose and. Is that how that goes?
Don't you know, like, the whole town comes out and they help, like, plug the dam.
Don't you know? Yeah. Oh, don't you know? I do you know? I do know.
Yeah. Now, if I may, I don't want to tell Brian how to fan. I understand the disappointment that he's feeling. But look, man, all you want is a chance to have a chance. If you can adjust your expectations, look, if Micah Parsons and Tucker Kraft are currently healthy as horses,
but they're not
there, you could feel all kinds of ways about, I think this team can win a title. The fact of the matter is they're not. On top of that, you don't know who's playing quarterback this week. Could be Jaden Reed at the moment. So I understand the disappointment. I understand the resignation, but like, look, there are a lot worse places to be as a fan than where the Packers fan base has
to
be because this lost, right? I mean, Kansas City, think about what they're used to. Patrick Mahomes tears his ACL. They're missing the playoffs. Then Gardner Minshew tears his ACL the following week. Like it's a tough year for them, but they've had it really good. Packers fans have not gotten to enjoy what the Chiefs fans have in the last several years.
Could you imagine having a conversation in September saying that the Titans are going to run the Chiefs out of the building in December?
No, I could not have imagined.
Like they're going to throttle them?
Nope.
Nobody would have imagined. That's why this crazy sport is so fun.
I'm not here to tell you what to do, but just – hey,
sounds like you're going to tell us what to do.
Then. I personally, if I were a Packers fan, say, look, whatever's going to happen is going to happen, but I'm going to enjoy this for as long as it lasts. And I'm still not willing to say, I believe the Packers will be the seventh seed. I believe they will go to Chicago, and I believe they will beat the Bears in Chicago. That's what I believe, because I still don't think that the Bears are the better team. But they made the plays that the Packers did not on Saturday night. I don't know how many folks were enjoying a Tito's vodka and celebration in Chicago and how many of them were drowning their sorrows, but we know that Fifth Generation Inc. puts out some great Tito's vodka.
Indeed they do, and man, we had a great Christmas party on Saturday. I went with the Tito's sweater, big hit. Had me a Tito's cocktail, that was a big hit. And then, unfortunately, I actually wore that Tito sweatshirt on the postgame show, which was not as much fun after the Packers. But we still had a great time, and Tito's, of course, was in my glass and our friends' glasses because they make great drinks. And they're not just about great drinks. Tito's gives back in a big way, partnering with nonprofits and doing real good all across the country, especially for our four-legged friends. So the next time you're raising a glass, make sure it's Tito's handmade vodka, crafted to be savored responsibly.
More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Caught up on some of these calls here, so let's lock in, as the kids say. 844-770-3776. That's the Carbless Talk and Text line. This is more. Let's go to Blackjack Andy in Madison. Andy, good morning. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch.
Good morning, guys. Actually, in snowy Green Bay today, but nonetheless from Madison. Anyway,
welcome.
I just want to make a couple points. First off, Jeff Hafley getting a lot of flowers throughout the season, and as he should. But Am I wrong in saying there are still cases where the team is very slow in lining up, making substitutions, knowing their assignments? Kind of see it on the regular. A week ago, a defensive lineman was running onto the field as the ball was being snapped, communications up to and after the snap, resulting in slow reactions, et cetera. Was it Keyshawn Nixon or his spokesperson, Nate Hobbs, that screwed up on the biggest play of the game and blew his assignment? And how is that happening under Jeff Hafley at the game's biggest moment? I mean,
Wait a minute. If you let me ask you this, and again, I don't want to be sitting here defending Jeff Hafley, but if you dial up the play that you have a free runner at the quarterback, if the play is executed and the guy covers the guy he's supposed to be covering, it's the right call, isn't it? Isn't it execution in this instance?
Not.
How do you argue
just
that?
My second point. It's actually why is he blitzing the free rusher from the right side of the line and Caleb Williams left? Let me ask you, Tausch, what is Caleb Williams' biggest strength? What do we know he wants?
He loves rolling to the right.
When the money is on the table. So what does Hafley do? He blitzes from the side that forces him to go to the right, exactly where he wants to go, where the play was probably designed to begin with. You put the free rusher to the other side of the field. Nobody's brought that up. Why are you dictating and sending him to the place that he wants to go? It was stupid. Put the guy on the other side. When Aaron Rodgers threw a Hail Mary touchdown pass against Detroit, what did the other teams do? They brought the blitz from the other side because they knew he was going to roll right. Now, did it work for them? No. Aaron Rodgers made, like, against the Arizona Cardinals, rolled left and made a couple of the greatest Hail Mary throws ever. But Jeff Hafley knows. We saw it in game one. We said all game one, you can't let this guy roll to the right. So on fourth and four, the game on the line and the money on the table, you bring a free rusher from the other side of the field and force him to do exactly what he wants to do? Am I wrong?
What other points do you have, Andy?
All right. So anyway, how is it possible this team sucks so bad at third and one and fourth and one, and yet we very rarely ever see a wrinkle or unscouted look? Like, ever. All we get is, like, this anxiety of knowing that we're no good at third and short and fourth and short. Well, I think the Bears fans and Lions fans are probably really excited under those situations because they want to see what the coach has dialed up. And they know they're going to get something unusual that the other team has never seen. Now, obviously, there's a line of demarcation on that. And we've seen Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell get a little too cute on occasion. But how do the Bears and Lions seem to have plenty of time to draw up new plays and have unscouted looks all the time? And meanwhile, we're throwing, like, heavily contested out patterns on fourth and one. I don't get it. I don't understand how, when the game is on the line, how you don't have something in your back pocket that nobody has ever seen. And I'm not suggesting you snap the ball over the guy's head on fourth down either, but I think, you know, that's
hey, Andy, do you remember the Thanksgiving Day game, right, where there was pretty much an even game except for fourth down, and Green Bay won that battle, yep. I think, three. I get what you're saying, and thanks for the call. The, you know, having wrinkles and that stuff is cute and great, but it comes down to being able to run the football. Fourth and one, fourth and short, fourth and inches, whatever it is. The Eagles have the tush push. I thought Green Bay a few times, and it was more third and shorts, not as many fourth. I thought they ran it, and it seems as if they're really liking to go behind Belton. It feels like they're starting to kind of read and run behind him. I think they're getting better push. They're not having the same amount of penetration issues getting back into the backfield. But as far as that blitz goes, yeah, you want to dial up. When you're dialing up a cover zero or bringing everybody, what happens is the good offensive lines and groups, they will squeeze down because you have to take away the most immediate threat to the quarterback, and that is always the inside rusher. You're going to have guys come free. They're going to be on the far edge. That wasn't the case of, oh, Caleb got to roll out to the right and buy time. He had to get rid of the football. He didn't roll on that. If he did anything, he stepped up maybe one step to his right to make that throw. This wasn't he got outside of the pocket and beat us with it. It was a well-thought-up, if the communication was right and Keyshawn or whoever was supposed to cover it, you then are looking at a one-on-one, tough, contested catch. That we saw the last time these two teams played, Keyshawn made a play on it. This time they didn't. So I'm not going to get after Jeff Hafley about blitzing off of an edge. The protection unit has certain rules that they're going to cover on that. That wasn't a let's free up and bring him off. We brought everybody. The Bears get to dictate who they pick up. The free runner is who's going to be the free runner. And it's going to be the furthest guy off the line of scrimmage. That's how that played out.
I would just recommend rewatching that play. He doesn't roll out to the right. He is still within the tackle box when Brenton Cox is hitting him as he's throwing the ball. So let's.
It was a heck of a staying in the pocket, because if he rolls out, maybe Keyshawn sees it. Like, it was a very well executed. I have to go back and look. I think the problem is, I think he dialed that up two plays in a row. It worked beautifully on third down.
Yeah, I'm as I rewatch the play, they have two receivers to the right, and Hobbs and Nixon both go to, I believe, Zacchaeus, who is cutting inside, and they leave Jahdae Walker going to the pylon. It appears to be Keyshawn Nixon who should not have gone there, but again, it would have been nice to get a straight answer on that. All right, we need to get some more of your calls. 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Tausch, tell us about AmFam, would you please?
I certainly will, and we're getting close to being at the end of our campaign. We're getting there. We still need just a little bit to get to that $50,000. Sarah and I, we've teamed up with American Family Insurance again to raise funds towards the American Family Children's Hospital through a virtual toy drive. All donations go towards therapeutic supplies and toys that help thousands of children and families across the country. And American Family Insurance has stepped up there, matching every dollar all the way up to $50,000. That gets us to $100,000. We need to do that by the end of the year, 12/31, got a week or so. Visit amfamkids.org to donate today. Again, that's amfamkids.org to donate today.
More of your calls next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Get back to your calls. 844-770-3776. Let's go to Ron in Oak Creek. Ron, thanks for holding on. Good morning. Your thoughts on the Packers' loss to the Bears and where they go from here?
I don't know if you remember. I'm the one who went to school with your buddy, the writer from Atlanta. But another story. Two things. One, I think, one, we overreact. Two, I'm not blaming the coaches. I'm going to go back to your line, Jason, the execution. You can have it all drawn up right, but if they don't execute right, it all blows up, and everybody is quick to blame LaFleur, quick to blame Bisaccio, and I'm not trying to say Bisaccio is the greatest thing since sliced bread. But
I agree with
we
you.
Didn't execute. We didn't execute when it mattered, when it came down to it. And it's like an analogy. It's like a plane crash. It's four or five things that have to go wrong for something to crash. And we had four or five things that went wrong for us to lose this game. I thought the coaches prepared us. I thought we stepped in with the backup, and we were there, but we didn't execute down the stretch, and all of those things blew up. I feel bad for the people that I've heard this morning talking about how they can't watch the games anymore and all of that. And I'm like, let's not overreact. You look at all these teams who have gone through drama, Philly, Kansas City, Baltimore. It's a lot. It's a lot in the NFL. And we were close, but we just didn't execute down the stretch like we needed to a couple of times. We haven't got blown out this year. We've been in every game. Some execution mistakes have cost us. but we're still a good football team, and I'm not giving up on them. So from all of that, I'm just saying we still have a chance. And as my buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter would say, why are we losing our head over it? We made some mistakes, but and we didn't execute. But the coaches put a good game plan together. You know, I know everybody wants to run Goody and LaFleur and Bisaccia out of town on a rail, but I'm not on that boat. I thought they prepared us pretty well, and we adapted even after we lost our quarterback, even after we've lost Tucker Kraft, even after we've lost Michael Parsons, even after we've lost offensive linemen. I think we've done all right. We haven't done great, but we haven't. It's not throw the bath and the baby out with the bathwater.
Ron, you need to call more often. Say hi to D-Led for me. And look, I think the best point that Ron made, thanks for the call, buddy. Multiple things can always be true at the same time.
He loves planes, trains, and automobiles, I think. He's got to love plane trains. He went through a lot of different transportation services right there.
He did.
Out of his town. You know, that's a damn rare thing these days.
Run him out of town on a rail. I'm not out in that boat. Yes, exactly. But
boat, plane.
Plane crashes.
The plane crash analogy wasn't the best, just for the record.
He's the
I was
going to
criticize, but I'm not going to.
Here's
it only takes one thing. I think it only takes one thing to go wrong. So I get what he's saying.
All
right, Jason, go ahead.
What I liked from him, though, and look, if you say Romeo has to field that onside kick, that is not absolving Rich Bisaccia for other aspects of their special teams that have not been good enough. Like, multiple things can be true, right? Like, I would disagree with Blackjack Andy that the play call on fourth down, you have two guys defend Zacchaeus and one guy leave Walker open. The pressure is there. Like, do you want to criticize Lucas Van Ness for not winning against the right tackle? Because then you've got Caleb Williams in an even more compromising position. Whatever, however you want to view it, but there are multiple things that happen on plays. Some of them are play calls. Some of them are execution. But just because you criticize one thing doesn't mean you absolve the other. And that's my frustration. No one is saying here that Rich Bisaccia has been the best special teams coordinator in the league. No one is saying that he's been great. No one's been saying anything like that. But Romeo,
what people are looking at is Sean McVay doesn't fire people. Their special teams blew a game, and I'm not a Rich Bisaccia fan at all. And I think what we saw with the Rams is Sean McVay saying we need this. This isn't going to work. LaFleur is not going to do that. And this is not. I don't think the Romeo Doubs. That's not on Rich. Now, the penalties and the bungling of the kick spot earlier in the year and the punt return, you know, how to blame that on Goody, great. But whatever the case is, Rich Bisaccia is responsible for where his special teams units are. And they're not good enough, period. They're not. But this is kind of how it goes. And I just think fans, if it wasn't for McVay doing what he did, which is he fired his guy because they cost him the number one seed more than likely because they didn't tackle on a punt. And their special teams have struggled there, too. And he's saying, we can't win this way, and we're here to win now. And I think that's where Packer fans are looking, saying, something needs to change because we keep having similar things happen that cost us games. And it is a great point about not getting blown out. It's hard to go an NFL season without a couple clunkers. It's really hard. And they have done that. They've been really good in that regard. Really, for a couple of years now.
844-770-3776. Let's get to one more call. Let's go down to Atlanta, where D-Led is, and talk to Josh. Josh, good morning. Thanks for holding on. What do you got?
Good morning, Wildy. Good morning, Tosh. How are we doing?
We're good. How are you?
Doing all right, man. Good morning to you.
I just got one thing to say, guys. The Bears are exactly who we thought they were. And that's why we took the field. All right? You want to make all these excuses? It's fine. Hey, we lost the game. They're a good football team. Give them credit. But without your starting quarterback, with a backup who is the best in the league, let's make no qualms about it. He's the best in the league, the best backup in the league. But with everything that happened, you still were in the game. So just like Tausch has been saying all morning, we see these guys the first round of the playoffs, no problem. We can go there. We can beat them. Would we like to play them in Green Bay? Absolutely. But will that happen? Eh, we'll see. But there's nothing to worry about. There's nothing to be concerned about. I mean, you had one of the best safeties in the league drop a pick in the fourth quarter. Are you going to count on that happening more often than not? I'm not. I still think McKinney's one of the best safeties in the league. A 3rd and 20, are you going to have a face mask penalty every time to keep a drive going? No, you're going to get a head coach, get in front of his team, and say, hey, we're not going to make these mistakes. That's not us. All right, so we're good. All right, yeah, we lost to Chicago. We know we're a better team. We know we have a better roster. Do we got some things to figure out? Absolutely. But, hey, NFC's still wide open. Our quarterback is still one of the best in the league. It stinks to lose to the Bears, but when you know you're the better team, who cares? Who cares?
Good call, Josh. We appreciate you. He mentioned one thing that I do think we maybe glossed over.
McKinney dropping picks every week? Because that happened in Denver, too.
No, but he did. Yeah, he dropped two in Denver. No, the Warren Brinson penalty.
Jesse hasn't said a word all show, and then he jumps in with that.
Well, McKinney can.
Classic.
Some big picks he's dropped.
He's had opportunities for sure, and he has it. Mm-hmm. I can't argue with Jesse on that. Those are game changers.
No, Tausch, he mentioned the Brinson penalty. Obviously, that is a not good. But I have a hard time killing him for that. It did not look like it was intentional. His hand got a little high. He's an inexperienced player. I thought that was unlucky. Am I wrong to view it that way?
Coaches, no, you're 100% right. And I know it was a huge play. Coaches never have problems with combative penalties that aren't, if you're going aggressively and you're playing at a high speed, sometimes things are going to happen. And if you're playing up to the whistle, dumb late hits and understanding circumstances, I totally agree. I did not have a problem. It's obviously super unfortunate that was the case. I'd much rather see that than a DB holding a guy on a 3rd and 20. I almost was just like, just play a soft zone so you can't get any of those ticky-tack holds or hands to the face, because those 5-yard penalties or first downs, they're just absolute killers. That penalty was an absolute killer because you're down, and if it's 4th and 20, you're feeling like you're in a really good spot to get off the field and to close up that game and not have to worry about the Dobbs onside kick or the blitz coverage or the coverage after an all-out blitz. Who blew that? Or in a bad snap center quarterback exchange in overtime, and all of those things are all sequenced off of that penalty too.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not something that I think you get after Brinson about. I don't have a problem. He went hard, tried to make a play, and unfortunately he got caught.
We'll get to more of your calls coming up. Want to remind you, every time the Packers make a field goal, and there have been a lot now that Brandon McManus is healthy again. But Steinhoffels is proud to partner with Special Spaces Wisconsin and the Packers to help create dream bedrooms for children battling cancer across our state all season long. Every time the Packers put a field goal through the uprights, Steinhoffels donates $1,000 to Special Spaces Wisconsin, turning points on the board into moments of hope. So while they went 0-for-5 in the red zone and kicked 3 field goals, hey, at least it benefited Special Spaces Wisconsin. Steinhoffels has been Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader since 1934, is 100% employee owned, and is a proud partner of the Green Bay Packers. In case you're wondering, by the way, the Packers have made 26 field goals this season. That is $26,000 from Steinhoffels to Special Spaces Wisconsin. More of your calls next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, brought to you by Grassland Butter. Grassland Dairy is Wisconsin. Learn more at grasslandbutter.com.
We'll get to back to the calls in a second. I want to remind you, Grubelofs. One call, that's all. 414-276-6666. 414-276-6666. There's lots of imitators, but Grubelofs has been doing this for 40 years. They win for their clients, and they will win for you if you are in that unfortunate position of having been injured in an accident. So go to gruber-law.com to find out more or make the call. 414-276-6666. Gruber Law Offices. Let's go to Jason at Hale's Corners. Speaking of calls, Jason, good morning. Thanks for holding on. Welcome to Wilde and Tausch. What's on your mind?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys. Long-time listener. Real quick, I'm not a big fan of Rich Bisaccia. He's making too many mistakes on special teams. Goody, well, he's doing what he can. I do hope the Packers, it looks like they're going to make the playoffs, and we're going to go back down to Chicago and beat them. But I don't know if anybody noticed, but on that last play, when Caleb Williams stepped back into the pocket and threw that bomb to DJ Moore, there's a ref standing right behind him. Now, if you look at the play, there are two Packers being held, and Tausch would probably confirm this, but when you're pulling the jersey, it's going to be a tight pull. And there were two players that were pulled. That play never should have counted. They should have gotten penalized for that, I believe, 10 yards, and that would have put them out of the field goal range even as well. That's all I have, and I just want to wish you both a very Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the call, Jason.
Yeah, Merry
yes.
Christmas and Happy New Year to you, too. There was a hold. There's no doubt. It wasn't. I didn't have a problem with the right tackle. I thought that was just battling.
But the hold on on Quay Walker, his jersey is stretched pretty far.
Yeah, and his feet were beat. You guys know the rules. We've had this discussion with Dino and everybody else. His feet were beat. Your feet are beat. And he grabbed. And he's holding. Yes, it should have been called. I don't think there's any other way to put it. Now, does that mean we would have won? It would have helped, no question. We would have then been able to, you know, if we could have made a stop, which who knows at that point. I don't even remember. Was that a first and 10 or a second? I think it was a first and 10 on that play.
It was first and 10. Yes, you are correct, sir.
So even if it's first and 20, it doesn't mean the way we were playing, they kind of were, they were up in us a little bit. It was getting to be where they were doing what they wanted at the end of that game. So I was actually starting to think, what do we do here if this is another tie? Is a tie better than obviously a loss sucks, but right. Had we gotten to two ties, how does that help us with the divisional battle? Because we would then own that tiebreaker outright.
It crossed my mind. It definitely did.
I was going to tweet something. I'm like, I don't know. I was kind of hoping, you know, just because you started seeing it was after we fumbled. Like, all right, maybe a tie is going to be the best case outcome for this game. And unfortunately, obviously, that wasn't the case. But how is that? How would that shake out with, you know, the two seed in the playoffs? And it would have obviously been better with a second tie than losing to the Bears. But that's not what happened. But I was definitely intrigued to see if it was.
Yeah, and by the way, before we get Bears fans all up in our YouTube chat and wherever else, Keyshawn Nixon also is tackling DJ Moore as he catches the game-winning touchdown. So if he doesn't catch
it's PI
that,
for sure.
Yes. So if he doesn't catch that, and they call both of the penalties that could have been called on that play, they're offsetting. Right? It's holding on the Bears.
Yep.
It's pass interference on the Packers. So
heck of a catch by.
It
DJ
was a phenomenal
Moore.
Catch.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And look, I understand that Caleb Williams has been inconsistent this season, that his completion percentage is not very high, all that stuff. It's a hell of a throw and a hell of a catch.
Great play. It was
phenomenal.
He made a couple of great plays, but I'm telling you right now, and Bears fans can get mad at me if they want, you can't win in this league completing 55% of your throws. You can't. Now, I know they are, but I'm telling you right now, what they're doing is not sustainable. It's not. Don't get mad at me. Go ahead and look at NFL quarterbacks in this era of ball. You can't get by throwing. I mean, he is not getting to. He's not getting to 59. He's at 55%. That ain't good enough. But it was on Saturday. So
it was.
Take it for what it's worth. I'm saying right now, because I'm hearing every Packer fan that calls outside of our buddy that seems really dejected. Everybody's saying the same thing, and I guarantee you this, Bears fans are going to yuck this up, but the last thing they want to see is us coming down to Soldier's Field. I think they would rather play almost anybody else but us. Mm-hmm. You don't think they'd rather have Philly come down there?
Yeah.
We'll see how San Fran plays them. They want no part of it, and I feel the exact opposite. I think Packer fans are all in on it. Matter of fact, I agree. I got a text from one of my Bears buddies that may or may not have played for the Bears, and he said, great win for us. We're feeling euphoric, but I'm already nervous. This is yesterday. I'm already nervous about having to play in the playoffs.
Well, I'm glad that Hunter Hill admired checked in with you.
That's how most Bears fans feel today. And they might not tell you. And Cap will sit there up on his perch, and he'll be all confident until he's not. And I'm guessing Waddle and Sylvia and the whole crew, they're all happy today. And kudos to you. You guys earned it. You got your flowers. Yeah. Take them. Smell them. But I would venture to say they're all very nervous about what that potpourri is going to look like in a couple weeks.
844-770-3776 is the Carbless Talk and text line. Liz is more. We'll get to more of your calls.
Calls, man. We are behind.
In the 11
That's on
o'clock
me,
hour.
This one's on me, by the way. I've been a little, and I know we got a little delay we're fighting today. This is on me. I've been a little too chatty.
Eight calls, four segments left. You think we can
do it? We got this.
We can do it. Two a segment? We'll get three coming out of the shoot.
I mean, you're averaging,
I am
going to
keep it tight.
You're averaging like 1.3 so far here. I don't know.
Our completion percentage is not high.
Hey, I'm sick of your negativity, Jesse Nelson. Your
negativity
is not, this is the holidays. Get
I
off the negativity.
Oh, Xavier McKinnon. Man.
Literally, has Jesse said anything? He said seven words today, and they're all negative.
It's been
nothing
one of my better.
Xavier McKinnon.
Really enjoyed
ball.
That.
Yeah. Too many calls. You guys are averaging 1.3. Brian just brought me a nice cup of hot coffee.
I'm sure he did. He's
really
been
producing life like
you.
This.
Yeah.
Producing
nice.
Life, man. I got.
You can take it to the
positivity.
Bank, and we will get to those last eight calls, and you can take it to the bank with Associated Bank. Best customer service in the industry. They've got the awards to prove it. Whether you're a Badgers fan, a Packers fan, or a Brewers fan, you can get checking to support your favorite team. Go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. The 11 o'clock hour starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.